You know, honestly, when we're going through this whole Advent series, each theme has a unique place and a unique sentiment that it probably raises in me, and it may do the same in you. But there's something about the theme that we come to this week that means a lot to me. And it's the theme of joy. You know, it's almost become funny to some people that, you know, every year I'm going at some point to sing Joy to the World. And yes, that's going to happen today. But it's this whole idea that joy was a declaration and a gift to all mankind, people everywhere. And that strikes me because even when this declaration was made, the diversity of circumstances in the world, amongst the nations, amongst the people groups of the earth, was so different that there had to be something about this word joy that surpassed any circumstance, any border, any situation, because it was a gift to all humanity. But the gift wasn't just an emotion, it was the person of Jesus. And this is why, for me, I think there is such a depth to this word joy. I think we've lost sight of it a little bit. You know, probably when we come to Christmas time and we think of the word joy, we immediately go to Luke chapter 2 and this promise by the angels. And I want to read just a little bit of that. It's Luke chapter 2 and it begins in verse 8. And it says, there were shepherds living out in the fields, and they were keeping watch over their flocks, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were really afraid. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid, because I bring you good news of great joy, and it will be for all people. Why? Because today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, and He is the Christ, the Lord. And so the idea of joy for most people actually is more akin to the idea of a big smile or a belly laugh or some celebration. And truly in our world, the word joy is probably more aligned to ho, ho, ho. It's this idea of the getting and gift giving. But that's probably more down the line of happiness. And sometimes that happiness lasts about as long as the batteries in some of the toys that we get. Happiness can be really short-lived and it can really be circumstantially based. But joy is different. See, the Greek word for joy, it's used here and it's used in a similar way in the book of Philippians. It's this word chara. And it is really this deep contentedness. It's a restful happiness. It's this centered space where, you know what, it's okay. And joy that comes out of that place isn't quickly taken away. We can find rejoicing, the engagement of joy, in all sorts of circumstances, because we're not anchored by circumstances, we're anchored by this promise of the person of Christ. You know, to rejoice really is to take a hold of joy. And the idea of joy is not a quick fix to circumstances. In fact, when the angels make this declaration of joy, it wasn't going to be a quick fix for the nation of Israel. It wasn't going to be a solution to the brutality and the rulers of the day, but it was going to be an impartation of the presence of God into the midst of those circumstances. You know, I think so often we expect joy to be this response to our alleviation of our suffering or our trial, that we would find joy when our circumstances change for good. But the declaration of joy came in the midst of great darkness. In fact, the prophetic word of the arrival of Jesus says this, that to a people dwelling in darkness, a light has come. There's another passage that I want to reference because it's actually really conflicting when you look at it. And it's the same setting. It's this impartation of joy, but the circumstances are really dark. In Matthew chapter 2, we read this, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi, or the wise men as we know them, came from the east to Jerusalem in search of the Christ. And there's a whole passage here. I'm not going to read it all. But the wise men find Jesus, and then they are going to return, and they're warned, don't go back. In fact, go home by a different route. And they avoid King Herod, and they never give him the news of where Jesus is born. And so what does Herod do? Herod goes on this crazy rampage and murders all the children 2 years of age and under. And it says actually that it was the fulfillment of the words of Jeremiah, who said that a voice is heard crying in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. It's Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. And that to me just seems so conflicting that not so long prior to this, the angels come and say, here is tidings of great joy for all mankind because a Savior is born, and within months, maybe a year, this weeping and wailing comes up over Bethlehem and probably surrounding towns and the regions of Judea because the children have been murdered. And how does joy and weeping come together with any sense of reason? And how does this promise of joy be joy to these people that have lost hope, peace, comfort? So there's this deep something about joy that goes beyond these circumstances we find ourselves in. And to be honest, this is something I've been pondering in this time for myself. Like, joy and grief going hand in hand. But it's not because circumstances are everything I would dream them to be. It's because I know Jesus in the midst of even trying times. Jesus in the midst of unknown. Joy that is this reality that wells up as I find myself at this restful place of being centered on Jesus. And so I believe that there is a reality to joy that comes as we find it hand in hand with hope, and hand in hand with peace, and hand in hand with love. And they all culminate in this Advent season as we come to Christmas Day and we come to that birth of Jesus. You see, that's not just concept. That's a reality. That is Emmanuel, God with us. Not just God lifting us out of circumstances and putting us in better circumstances. It's God invading the space that we're in, the darkness of humanity. You know, we sometimes have worked so hard over the generations to keep the sacred and the secular separate, the holy and the profane separate. But this is the incredible thing about Christmas and the incredible thing about this joy is that God invades the ultimate of the divine, comes and dwells in the midst of the human, the sacred, the secular, absolutely intermingled. Jesus finds himself right at the heart of it. You know, the good news of great joy truly is for all people of all times when we realize it's centered on Christ alone. You see, it's into this world of Caesar Augustus, and it's into this world of the Herods, and it's into this world of the dictators over generations. Joy finds its fertile ground. It's in these spaces that actually the centering of joy begins to flower and bring newness of life with hope and peace and love and the person of Jesus. It's into this world of poverty, of suffering, of trial, of sickness, of aging, of dying, of disease, a world of war and a world of pandemics. Joy comes in. And I wonder, what are the circumstances that if you allow yourself to sit with them for a little while to ponder, what are the things that you need joy to invade? What do you need to be re-centered in? You see, joy has this incredible ability to bring a calm and a quiet. The exuberance maybe isn't there. This giddy happiness, the belly laughing, may not be there. But joy still comes. You know, the scriptures also say that though mourning endure for the night, joy will come in the morning. I love the promise of the will. You see, this joy that comes is a joy that is stronger and deeper than our sorrows. It's a joy that cannot be quenched by the tragedies of life. It's joy that can sustain us even though we suffer great loss. And it's joy that shines in the darkness. And I believe it's appropriate to focus on joy at this time, because a joy that is established in hope can never be stolen. You see, the rage of a King Herod, the oppression of a ruler, is replaced by this joy that's found in Jesus. And this day will come when all things are rectified, where all things are restored. A day when the distant ones and the wanderers will return home, and the estranged will be reconciled, and the oppressed liberated, and the brokenhearted and the wounded ones healed and restored. We're not there yet. It's probably a long way to go. And there's a lot of cold hearts, and there's a lot of distant ones. But there's a promise that that day is coming. In the meantime, we're always going to encounter self-centeredness, selfishness. We're going to see the outworking of tough things, because the end hasn't come yet. That peace when the earth knows the goodness of Jesus will come. The prophet said it a long time ago that one day the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth like the oceans. There'll be this deep rest. And so whatever you find yourself in today, find joy, because the promise is not just change, but the salvation from our sin. We're held captive, but set free. Once we had darkness, but now we walk in light. And for me, that's that source of joy. You know, it's that good news of great joy that brings a calm happiness and a peace. It's because of the coming of the kingdom of God into our midst and the redemption of people that we actually find this hope fulfilled. It's why there can be joy amidst the cries of wailing mothers, of the sick and the suffering, You know, it's why there can be joy while we still hear the voices of the outcast and the marginalized and the oppressed. Because that promise of joy is for them too. It's why there's hope in this world that honestly still is so broken. When I look at the oppression across the globe, from Ethiopia to Iran to Myanmar to Europe and refugees, and even in our own country, Australia, there is this promise of the release from oppression. The suffering and everything we see, it won't be like this forever. That'll all be changed. And though our hearts break for those in these difficult situations, we have to be the voice of hope, of peace, of love, and of joy. You see, Jesus, when he lived amongst us on this earth, he showed us the way. He lived the way. He taught the way. And even though we crucified him, we rejected that way, God raised him to life again. And then beyond that, God gave the gift of his Holy Spirit. It's like he set free this agent of everything we're waiting on. He set it free in the earth. How? In us and through us. He liberated this world by imparting himself through us. It continues. Do you know what's the agent of hope and peace and love and joy now? His Spirit at work in you and me. You see that? We become that. That same declaration the angels gave on that night, hey, there's tidings of good news, of great joy, because born unto you is a Savior. You see, that now is entrusted to us. We don't need an angel song declaration. We need the voice of the church, the centered, the calmly happy, the ones who are at rest in this promise of the Christ, the Savior of the world. And I just love that God has entrusted that message to us all the time, but especially at Christmas, we have an opportunity to be this voice and to be that impartation. And so, realize it, we're part of something bigger, much bigger, much bigger than just a season or a day, much bigger than a promise made just 2,000 years ago. It's now an everyday living declaration that we're invited into. And so here's a couple of questions just to think on. What does joy actually mean to you? What's your practice of joy? What does joy cause in you? Are there circumstances that you would go, well, I can't have joy as long as these circumstances remain? Would you be willing to consider that centered, hopeful rest of joy in Jesus could overcome that oppressive sense of circumstances? Could you be liberated right where you are? For me, that's the hope. And then also, are we willing or able to be an instrument of joy in someone else's life? Is there someone we know that needs joy, needs that impartation, needs to know Jesus? Because if you've been given that gift of life, the best thing we can do is give it to someone else. And so I really do hope that this Christmas, that all of these themes find a place of deep reality for you, the hope of a Savior, the peace of a Savior, the love of a Savior, and the joy of a Savior, that a few days from now we will celebrate together as we engage Christmas Day. But right now, I think it's time for a little bit of joy to the world. Why? Because the Lord has come.
The name.